direct from Orlando. It's blindbargains.com coverage of NFB 2016. Brought to you by Hims. Go make it happen with Go Vision, the new transportable video magnifier with optical character recognition and the ability to enlarge and customize files, photos, or videos from your cell phone, tablet, or computer. Hims. Lifestyle innovation. Now, here's Chancey Fleet.
Hi, I'm here with Shiri Azenkot, who is an assistant professor at the Jacobs Technion Cornell Institute at Cornell Tech in New York City. Hi, Shiri.
Hi.
So, tell me a little bit about the research that you're doing here at convention and what you're showing to folks.
Okay, well, I do research in accessibility, and we came to convention. I'm here with my student, Yuhong Zhao. So we came to show some of our research projects, and mostly we've been showing two projects, and they both involve 3D printing. We're really excited about 3D printing and the opportunities that it has to improve accessibility for people who are blind and low vision. So the first project that we've been showing has to do with accessible visualizations. So visualizations are used a lot in education. So for example, bar graphs are very common ways of representing data and information. So we were wondering if there are more accessible and more effective ways to represent bar graphs using 3D printers. So right now, a lot of people use tactile graphics to represent a bar graph in an accessible format. So you have raised lines. But we have this whole third dimension to play with. So we wanted to see whether there are even better ways to represent bar graphs. So we've been doing a study, and Chancey, you've been helping with that study as well, so you know a little bit about it already, where we've been looking at new formats for representing bar graphs. So for example, instead of having raised lines to represent the lines of the graphs, we actually have these standalone bar graphs, so you can hold the graph in your hand and feel the bars with both your hands and their height. And we've experimented with adding different textures and different types of tick marks or guidelines to show how high each of the bars are.
I know that you've been exploring how the 3D printing process works with Braille, and you've had varying degrees of success with the Braille. Could you talk a little bit about some of the challenges and how you've overcome or working towards overcoming them?
Sure. So we've done a little bit of exploring with Braille and 3D printing. So I'm a huge advocate for Braille, and I think it's very important. And of course, with 3D printers, we have this new mainstream way of printing Braille. But as I'm sure you know, Braille also has many limitations. So Braille is pretty bulky, so it takes up a lot of space. Many people don't read Braille. People who have low vision many times don't read Braille. So we're actually looking to see if we can add other information to 3D prints, like audio. So basically to add audio labels to bar graphs or to any 3D model for that matter. So that's another project that has some overlap with a graphs project. But it's another project that we've been demonstrating at convention, so I can talk a little bit more about that.
Okay.
So the idea with this other project is, like I said, a lot of times when you have a visualization in a textbook, you'll have a lot of extra information that goes with the visual image. So you'll have a title, you'll have a caption, you'll have annotations, labels, and now that we can print something, we have a tactile representation of it, which is great, but we still don't have a way of representing all that other information. So we can use Braille to some degree, but it's still very limited. Aside from the fact that we don't have that much space to represent that much information in Braille, it also gets a little tricky because the model is already tactile. You know, it's not a piece of paper, so it can be hard to print the Braille on a surface that's not necessarily smooth or straight or flat. So we've been looking at adding these little markers. We're calling them tickers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can basically mark certain locations on a 3D print. And the tickers are little instruments. So you can kind of flick them backwards and release, and they make a little sound. And the tickers go along with this application that figures out which ticker you're flicking. So for example, we have one model of a molecule. The molecule has three atoms on it. It's H2O, so it has two hydrogens and an oxygen atom. And each atom has a ticker on it. So you flick a ticker, and then our application, it's a smartphone application, it figures out which one you're flicking, and it can speak the corresponding atom. So it tells you what you're touching. So it's kind of like having an audio label on the atom.
Excellent. And so what kind of feedback have you been receiving during convention?
Oh, so the feedback has been great. And this is our first time at convention, our first time demonstrating our research projects at this type of venue. And it's been super fun, first of all, meeting so many different people and getting a chance to talk about our work to just this many people in such a short amount of time. And we've been getting a range of different types of feedback. So some people have come up and said it was really great. One guy was really funny. He just kept saying, "This is insane. This is insane." I think he meant that in a positive sense. So that was good. We had some interesting ideas from people who gave us some, you know, food for thought for the future, possible future directions. That was great also. And some contacts. So one of the things that we're doing is we're talking a lot to teachers, to TVIs and also to science teachers, because we really want to work with them to design the models in a way that's accessible and also effective for teaching certain concepts. So we've been getting people's information, and we're really hoping to build a community of collaborators as we move this project forward and we start to build this library of models. So that's been really great to be able to connect with so many different people.
Now, Shiri, you are yourself a researcher with low vision, right?
Yes.
What got you engaged in this field?
Well, I did my undergrad degree in computer science, and at the time I wasn't thinking about doing anything related to blindness or low vision at all. I hated all the assistive technology that was available. I thought it was too expensive. I thought it was awkward. You know, it was felt like it marked me as someone with a disability and made me feel very different. And, you know, at the time when I was a teenager, that was something that was hard for me to deal with. But then I was working as a software developer after college, and I just didn't feel like what I was working on was very meaningful. And I started to think about what to do next and about grad school. And I found out that there were people who are working on accessibility, this research area that's actually looking at assistive technology in a whole new way and in a way that I really agreed with. So I had this moment when I realized that I could actually make it better, and I could actually work on projects that did match my values. And if I was feeling this way, there were other people who probably felt this way too. So that was back in 2008. And then I went back to graduate school in computer science. I got my PhD. I did my dissertation on accessibility. And now I'm, like I said, an assistant professor at Cornell. So this is what I do, and I have my own students now. So that's been my path.
Wonderful. Well, we're so happy to have you here. What have you taken away from this first convention, or what's jumped out or surprised you?
I think one of the most interesting things has been just the diversity and the quality of people here. I mean, you just meet amazing people. People who have had such different experiences, and people who are so incredibly intelligent and passionate about what it is that they're working on. So for example, I didn't get a chance to meet her, but I heard from my student that she met someone who wrote a book about how to take better photos, how blind people can take better photos.
Oh, that's Getting the Picture by Judy Dixon.
Right. Yeah.
It's fabulous. We have it at the library.
Yeah, so it's just so great that you can meet these people here. Another person I ran into was Craig Metter. I'm not actually sure how you pronounce his last name. And he's the president of APH, and I met him before, but it was great to reconnect, and I just think he's a fantastic person, and the APH is doing great things. So so really, it's meeting people here and being able to reconnect.
It really is a revitalizing experience every year, and just so much talent in one place. And thanks for being part of it this year, and I hope you come back.
Yeah, me too.
And happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys, online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.